Our first reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Our second reading this morning, friends, comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 and also verses 13 through 14. "For freedom, Christ has set us free." Whew, amen. "Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, you are our rock and our redeemer. Thanks be to you. Amen. So today, it's great to be with you. Usually, as you know, I am in the sanctuary, so it's a pleasure and delight to be with you today. My name is Martha McLean. I'm the pastor of Christian Formation here at First Carey. Now, today we begin our sermon series on three simple rules, and they are do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Now, these are three simple rules for Christian living. Very simple to remember, much harder to practice. Now, we might ask, what are the origins of such a simple plan for our Christian living together? Well, as many of you know, way back in 1739 in London, about 8 to 10 persons who were deeply convinced of their sin earnestly sought redemption and a deeper meaning of salvation. And so in their need, they reached out to an Anglican priest named John Wesley because they knew him to be a man of good reputation and good character, who took up collections for the widows and the orphans, who cared for people who lived in the city and in the country, and he visited in the prisons. Now, other concerned persons heard about these gatherings and joined in for mutual encouragement and accountability and service. And as I teased earlier, I said, even without the internet, word spread. The word spread and their numbers grew daily. A few more joined in, and a few more, and a few more, and a few more. Now, initially, these persons sought help because, in their language, they felt that wrath was continually over their heads. Now, that may seem a little archaic to us, the way it's phrased, but all of us at various times have wanted to better understand those deeper meanings of life. So who knows exactly what to do? Maybe they'd been going through a rough time. Maybe they'd lost a job, were having trouble with their marriage or their kids. Maybe they felt empty or numb, or were somehow entrenched in the social and economic injustices of the times. Maybe they had wronged someone and truly sought to make things right. In any event, whatever the trigger, each one felt an awakening by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they had a need for new hope and new life. Can any of us identify? Can I see some heads? How many of us can identify with this? Their numbers grew to such a point that they multiplied into smaller groups where more intimate and personal sharing and testimony could take place. And as those of you who grew up Methodist know, the common question was, how is it with your soul? That was asked of each person each week, and it's a question that definitely resonates still with us today. How is it with our souls? Three simple rules. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Three simple rules. Easy to remember. Harder to practice. So they developed descriptions of what these rules meant for everyday life. And the first rule, do no harm, meant things like avoiding needless self-indulgence. It meant paying proper tax on goods. It meant not giving or taking unlawful interest from our brothers and sisters. It meant not taking goods unless we paid for them. Other things made the do no harm list, like this, you'll love this. The singing of songs or reading of books which do not build up the knowledge or love of God. Now, when I looked at that list, I thought, oh my goodness, we are probably all in trouble with that. What about those concert tickets I just bought? What about my music collection? And now I'm going to have to stop reading those tabloid headlines as I'm in the checkout line at the grocery store. Don't even tell me if you have difficulty with this one. Uncharitable or unprofitable conversation, speaking evil of the civil magistrates or ministers of the gospel. I just don't even want to know. Now, we may joke about some of this, but we all know that our actions matter greatly. Did you know that the movie star Minions, have any of us seen their movies? The Minions of the Despicable Me fame and the children's films, they are in trouble with their language. Who knew? The Minions have their own solo career now, and there is a big brouhaha brewing over their speech. Have you heard about this? Yeah, well, fast food giant McDonald's swears, and I use that word intentionally, that the little toy minions that they put in the Happy Meal are only speaking nonsense words, but some of the customers have other ideas. A handful of the customers believe that these little yellow minions are speaking some very adult phrases and words. So a reporter decided to check out this story. A reporter with the Associated Press bought a Happy Meal to test out this theory to see exactly what they were saying. But alas, the sound quality of the toys was so poor, they couldn't tell what the toys were saying. But no doubt, our words and our actions have the power to be used for good or for evil. Our words and our actions have the power to build up or to tear down. Now, many politicians are catching heat right now for what many say is harmful speech and rhetoric. It's very unpresidential. Another war of words erupted between some of them just this week. Maybe we should go back to what the third grade teacher used to teach her students. Her lesson was very simple. Helping or hurting? Helping or hurting? Of course, things like fighting and quarreling and brawling or brother taking brother to court also made the do no harm list. Now, this reminds me of the two little brothers who were always fighting or quarreling or in some other way getting into trouble. These two little brothers always got blamed when something bad happened around town because they all knew that these rambunctious young boys were usually the cause of any harm or mischief. Once, after starting a small bonfire on the school playground, the parents were so fed up with the boy's behavior that they sent the older boy for a chat with the local pastor. It was time to set these boys straight, and they felt like the strict old pastor was just the man for the job. The strict old pastor sat the boy down, looked at him sternly, and asked, "Young man, where is God in all of this?" The boy is silent, so the pastor repeats himself. "Young man," I said, "where is God in all this?" The boy begins to squirm in his seat, but still says nothing. So the pastor, in his most authoritative, thundering voice, says, "Young man, where is God?" With this, the boy jumps out of his seat, bolts out the door, races home, runs upstairs to pack. He quickly finds his younger brother and says, "Brother, you had better pack up too. They have lost God and they're trying to blame it on us." Real and serious evil exists in this world. And so sometimes we all ask, where is God in all of this? Recent hate-filled and horrific events in North and South Carolina grieve God, and they grieve the people of our entire nation. Every day, the news is filled with the harmful aftermath of our poor choices and decisions. Do no harm. Now, a while back, I met with someone who wanted to discuss the deeper matters of faith and life, to discuss some of the questions that we all encounter at one point or another, and sometimes on a recurring basis. This man's family were very devoted and active in the fellowship and service of Christ Church. But he was, at best, a self-described skeptic. He genuinely struggled with the existence of God and the validity of the church. These tensions were causing difficulties in the home and in the family dynamic. So we touched on the disappointments, the loss, the brokenness, all the different things that he had experienced that had an impact on his beliefs. We touched on the wonderful ways we could affirm goodness in this world. From my friend's perspective, humans were not only capable of determining what is good, but also doing what is good apart from God. Then we began to discuss evil. Who or what is the cause of evil? My friend believed that evil indeed was present in the world, but suggested that people did not do hurtful things or participate in the evil, that evil was just an impersonal force that somehow brought about pain and suffering. We continued our conversation, and then both began to do some truthful naming of how we humans participate. We participate in bringing harm to ourselves and to others. Together, we began to name some of the selfish actions that we do, the harmful actions that can be perpetrated by us and embodied by us, especially as we turn from our holy and good God. Perhaps this is why the first of the three simple rules meets us where we really are in our human condition, our common human condition. It's the same reason the first question in our profession of faith says, do we renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin? That is the first question in our profession of faith. But folks, as Colin read in our Galatians passage, hear the good news. For freedom, Christ has set us free, and there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we are justified, we're forgiven, we are pardoned, we're given new birth and new life. And it gets even better. In Christ, we are set free from the power of sin that tries to hold us captive and hold us back from the good things that God intends for us and for all people. For years, I have tried to do a better job of sharing with others the freedom and the joy that comes from knowing Christ. But a paradox about the freedom that we have is kind of hard to explain, because our freedom is not found in our self-rule or self-governance or our independence, but rather our freedom is found through radical dependence on God. I know this to be very true in my own life. In Christ, again, hear the good news. We receive liberating love and freedom where God's desires become our own, and we don't even miss the things that we no longer have. We don't even count them as loss. Our burdens, the burdens that we have, are handled under Christ's yoke and Christ's authority, who has overcome it all. In Christ, the power of sin no longer entices us or has a hold on us. In Christ, we receive the liberating kind of love where obedience is joyful and we are able to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ paid the price to set us free. The chains have been broken. They are lying at our feet, or better still, they are lying at the foot of the cross. What we do matters greatly, but ultimately it is about living into what Christ has done, is doing, and will do on our behalf. And failure to love God and love neighbor does harm, and it's the opposite of living in God's love and freedom. We are made free to live and move and to have our very being in Him. Three simple rules of our faith and practice that are made possible by the awakening of the Holy Spirit in our lives. They are given for our mutual benefit and blessing. Do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as a response to God's word for us today, I invite you to join with me, stand as we say together the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. Could we say together, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.